listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, we are looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Holy God, we come into your presence here today, ever thankful for your word to us, ever thankful for your blessing that descends upon us in your Holy Spirit. And so, God, as we gather around your word this morning, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Yesterday, we were out driving yesterday morning, and we had CBC Radio 1, and we were listening to a show called Under the Influence. If you're not familiar with the show, it's basically a look at business practices and advertising over the years. And yesterday was an interesting show. It was about what a difference makes, standing out in the marketplace. And the host, Terry O'Reilly, took us on a journey of discovering how businesses have stood out from the pack in their advertising practices to try to draw more business to themselves. You know, it looked at who gained the greatest following as they sought out new innovative ways for advertising that would, you know, make them stand out from everyone else. They may not have been the biggest or most efficient businesses, or even maybe they didn't even have the best products, but people were drawn because of their unique advertising, which caused them, again, to stand out from their competitors and be kind of attached to the memory of the people. You know, I mean, let's face it, the business world works hard and they want to succeed, which means they need to make money, which means they need to draw attention to themselves so that we will give them our money. We are bombarded with advertising all day long. Everywhere we turn are commercials and commercials. You know, I can't remember the stats, but it's just phenomenal the amount of advertising we face each and every day, whether television or radio or newspapers or the internet is all advertising everywhere we go. So companies, they need to be creative in how they'll reach us. And if they can do that, along with a solid product, then they have succeeded. They will gain our business. When you look at us, we are a gathering of people in this building that we call Carmen United Church. Other than our name, what separates us from the other places in this town, the other churches? Or for that matter, what separates us from other businesses, other buildings? What makes us a church instead of a gas station or a grocery store or a school? The answer may seem simple, but it could also be rather complex. We are different, and I think we're pretty sure of that. But there's this increasing pressure of the world to look a certain way, to behave a certain way. So what makes us different? What makes us stand out from the other options people have on Sunday mornings? Now, I'm not trying to say that we're getting it wrong. I'm also not trying to say that we've got it all right either. I'm just wondering, what are those markers which separate us as Christians from being just another gathering of people with a common interest? I ask this because it's pretty much what's at the heart of the debate where Jesus is debating the Sabbath with the Pharisees. It just so happens that lately I've been trying to understand a little bit more about Sabbath. It's interesting that I've gained this interest since we moved to the New Manse, because in the New Manse, the fridge and the stove have Sabbath settings. So I was trying to figure out, what does it mean for a stove to have a Sabbath setting or a fridge? It turns out that for Jews to take the Sabbath very seriously, they need to avoid any and all work on the Sabbath day. So from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, there is this period where they do no work, and they invoke no work. So on the oven, the Sabbath setting is to keep the oven at a constant temperature for 24 hours. So They do that so there's no safety features to shut it off after 4 or 6 hours, right? It just stays on a constant temperature for 24 hours. You don't need to push any buttons. The light doesn't come on. Because to do any of that, to push buttons and to open the door and cause the light to come on, is work. You're pushing buttons to make something do something, so that's work. But you can open so the food stays in there all day, and you just help yourself. When you think about it, that kind of makes sense for that 24-hour period. But the fridge is how does the fridge need a Sabbath setting? Well, it's a similar thing. What happens when you open the fridge door? The light comes on. You're causing something to work. So the Sabbath setting on the fridge keeps the light off. It puts the compressor on a timer. Because when does the compressor kick in? When the temperature gets too high, the compressor cools the fridge down. So when you're opening and closing the door, you're causing the temperature to fluctuate in the fridge, causing the compressor to have to kick in. So the compressor goes on a timer. Every so often it kicks in and kicks out. It's not related to the temperature for that 24 hours. Also, ice makers are shut off. Because to push the button to get your ice, you're causing a motor to engage, which is work. All very interesting. Quite fascinating when you think about it. That there's this much effort that goes into avoiding work, that they build it into appliances. I also learned that elevators have a Sabbath setting, or some do. If you're in a Jewish neighborhood or a Jewish country, the elevators have a Sabbath mode, which you can't go in and push buttons because you're causing the elevator to work. So what does the Sabbath setting on an elevator do? It causes the elevator to run all day, stopping at every floor on the way up and down. So clearly, for Orthodox Jews, the Sabbath is a really big deal. So when we read these first 11 verses of chapter 6, and that's where we're going to focus on. We're not going to focus on the disciples. We're going to focus on the Sabbath discussion. We might wonder why Jesus, a Jew, is having a debate with the Pharisees, the keepers of the Jewish laws, around Sabbath. Now, this is actually a pretty big moment in the ministry of Jesus. It may not look like it at first glance, but this encounter begins to set in motion what leads to him ending up on the cross. In our 21st century eyes, we see Jesus is just putting down the Pharisees for their silly little rituals. We see Jesus as casting the Pharisees kind of as old-fashioned, stuck in the mud, focused on rules and missing the point. And of all that, it's only a little bit true. Before we dig in too deeply, let's just remember what happened. Jesus is walking in the fields with his disciples. It doesn't say what time of day or anything, but we know it's the Sabbath. But while they're walking through, they're picking things. And they're rubbing it in their hands to get the shells off so that they can eat. So they're rubbing their hands together. They are preparing a meal. They are working to make something to eat. And they're breaking a law. So when the Pharisees challenge Jesus on this, he brings up David. Brings up the example of David, who's in the middle of a war, kind of running through battles, stopping at the synagogue to get something to eat. And the only thing they have available is the holiest bread, the holy bread of the holies, which is only eaten by the priests. That's the law. But the priest gives it to the king for him and his friends so that they can eat and be replenished for the battle. Now, this is an example when rules are bent and broken, and no one's going to argue Jesus on this point. So when you look at it, Jesus may even be pushing the limits a little bit. I mean, he's comparing himself to a king who's in a battle and needs something to eat so that he can fight the enemy. But his point is made. rules can be bent, rules can be broken, and Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do what he wants, in a way. In the next story, Jesus enters the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he heals a man with a withered hand. And he's done more work. And he's going to be in trouble for it. But before he heals the man, he sets up a question. He says, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or destroy it? And then he heals the man. And this really upsets the Pharisees. It says they're filled with fury. They're filled with fury. And they start to debate what they can do with this rebel they've found. But they missed the point of his question. Jesus asked, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? What's it for? The Sabbath is important for the Jews, especially at this point in their history. Just less than 2 centuries before Jesus was even born, there was an invading nation who banned certain practices of the Jews. They banned the practice of the Sabbath. They banned circumcision. Why would they choose these two things to ban the Jews from practicing? Because it would stop them from looking like they're set apart. They banned it so that they would look like everyone else. And if you look like everyone else, then you're missing part of your identity. You're losing sight of the fact you are different. And in the case of the Jews, they would lose sight that they are the chosen people of God, set apart to do something different. They would just look like everyone else. The Sabbath has become a resistance to the increasing pressures of the world to be more uniform. It's a rebellion against the increasing pressure from the ruling Romans at this time who occupy the land where they live. It's a resistance to the cultural pressure which asks them to change their identity and be more like us, to fit more into the Roman model of living. So when Jesus challenges their understanding of Sabbath, he's not saying that the Sabbath has lost its relevance. He's saying it's lost its focus. The Sabbath is a gift to the Jewish people. One of the main reasons they celebrate the Sabbath is because they realize they have been made in the image of God. And what did God do after he created the universe and everything in it? He rested on the seventh day. They also celebrate because it's a gift to the entire household. This isn't just celebrated by the father, his spouse, and the children, but it also includes the servants who are foreigners. It includes the crops. It includes the livestock. Everybody gets a day of rest. It's more than just a day of rest, though. It's a day to refrain from work and to trust in God to provide. In short, this is an opportunity to celebrate and remember the life-giving nature of our God. To celebrate Sabbath is to celebrate life. Jesus is asking them if this is what they are remembering when they celebrate the Sabbath. Is it so important to follow the rules that you can't even do good things? If the Sabbath is to promote and celebrate life and life from God, then why not do good to someone who needs it? Even if it means doing a little bit of work in the process. You might even wonder, is there a better day in the week to do something good for someone else than the Sabbath? If it's God's day, then wouldn't that be a perfect chance to do something good? The Sabbath is a gift from God to the entire household, right? The family, the servants, everything. It's a gift that allows them to celebrate the goodness of God as an entire household, no matter their nationality, no matter their background. The Sabbath promotes life and community. And it helps the Jewish people stand apart from the world around them. It's great when I go in your homes and you share the stories of Sabbath day from your experiences with your parents or your grandparents. And you talk about all the things you couldn't do on Sundays, even though you really wanted to go play with your friends. Things have changed today. The world is busy, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Remember when television used to go off the air overnight? That wasn't that long ago, was it? We've gone from one extreme to another, it feels like, in a short period of time. Is it a bad thing we've lost our day of rest? Probably. And we can just sit and judge the world because of their sins of working on the Sabbath day. But then we have to ask ourselves, are we any better? Is anyone thinking about popping into a restaurant on the way home? Or pick up a couple groceries? Or maybe you need some gas? All of those things break Sabbath laws according to the Jewish customs, because someone has to work. Someone has to cook the food. Someone has to serve it. Someone has to check you out of the grocery store. Someone has to be there to man the pumps. But that's not the point of this sermon. I'm not here to make you feel guilty because you might be making someone work today, or you might do some work today. I'm here to ask you the question which lies at the heart of this engagement between Jesus and the Pharisees. What makes you distinct? What makes you as a Christian stand out from the world around us? In this pressure-packed 24/7 world we live in, what makes you as a follower of Jesus Christ stand out from all the non-Christian activities that are happening more and more every day? I have a friend who gave up swearing a while ago. He did it because he didn't like how it made him feel. He felt that when he swore, it filled him with negative emotions, and it just kind of gave him the wrong kind of energy. So he decided to stop and see what sort of difference it would make in his life. The results surprised him. Not only did he feel different, but others around him started to act differently. And when they asked him why he stopped swearing, he just simply said he didn't feel like a good Christian when he did it. Another friend heard about this change he made and decided to try it for himself. This guy, the second guy, used to swear a lot. At home, in the office, in the car. Even his wife, he said, had a bit of a sailor mouth. And within days, he noticed a difference in his attitude and in his home, in the office, and everywhere. Even his wife swore less now that he had stopped. The attitudes of his employees changed when he stopped swearing in the office. He was amazed how this very simple act had such a big difference in his environment. Even the attitude of his children changed. All of this because one man felt he was drifting apart from God because he acted a certain way. And this simple act of change in his life immediately impacted dozens of people, at least, that we're aware of. That made him stand out from the crowd. Now, I don't imagine it was easy because he does live in Cape Breton, and if you hadn't noticed, people like to swear around here a little bit. But he did it. It changed his life. He feels closer to God because he did it, and he changed the lives of people around him. What makes us stand out as different, as people of God? The Sabbath was to help the Jews stand out as a community, but also to help them rely on God in their lives. What do we do to stand out as a community? What do we do to stand out as people who rely on God? What is our visible sign? Do we even have one? I mean, you can look at what we do here on Sunday mornings. We're here with an organ, with a somewhat traditional service. It's not high church by any means, but it's a pattern that we follow. You know, this is increasingly less seen in churches nowadays. If I were to say, I'm going to start a new church, and I'm going to plant a new church, and I need an organ, people would look at me pretty funny. Because when you're starting a new church now today, you get a band. You rock and roll it. And their services are much more free-flowing than what we have here. It may look completely different one week to the next. We have our pattern that we follow. That's fine. That's what works for them. And I think what we do here works for us today. And I'm fine with it because it's our own unique way of doing it. This service on a Sunday morning is not about entertaining the masses, but instead I hope it's an hour that we feel an invitation to get to know God more in our lives. And we get to know it through His Son, Jesus Christ. We live in a world that says we need to be entertained every minute of the day. I hope our time at Carmen is a break from that pressure. I hope we see it as an opportunity to draw back from the pressures of life around us and to sit still in the presence of our God, to let His Spirit envelop us. On this Sunday, by being here, we have chosen to be different. But does it help us stand out? What impact does it have on us Monday through Saturday? Is there something that makes us stand out from all the noise, all the competition in the world around us? I'm not sure it does, and I'm still undecided as to whether that's a good thing or not. I'm not sure that today Carmen really stands out from the crowd, and some of you may disagree, some of you may agree. We aren't here, though, to be popular, so that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm wondering is, what do we do as a people who call Carmen home? How do we stand out from the crowd? I'm not wondering about the building. We have a functional building here. It's not the building that needs to stand out. It's the Christians who call this place home who need to stand out. I've said it a few times that we're going to spend a lot of time in prayer this year, looking at prayer, focusing on prayer. We've got our Hearing God prayer workshops on the go, and they'll run it on and off through this year and probably beyond. We're going to have some special prayer services. Starting in Lent, we're going to introduce pre-service prayer, an opportunity where you can come in early to church to spend some time in prayer, that we'll pray about certain things and in different ways. As part of our prayer times, we'll ask God to show us how we are to live our lives as individuals and as a church in this world. I think that's how we're going to stand out. Because through prayer and listening to what God has to say to us, that's going to change us who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. In a crowded, busy, demanding world, it seems like everyone and everything is competing for our attention, for our valuable time. There's only 24 hours in a day, and we need to figure out how we're going to spend pretty much every minute of it. Marketers want us to spend our money, to give it to them, which is why they're so focused on advertising. That's why they run studies on how we spend our money and do research and find the newest trends before we even know they exist. God wants us, though, to focus on His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we want to stand out as Christians so that others can be drawn into this amazing, life-giving Father in heaven, then we need to stand out in such a way that people will be drawn to Him by our words and our actions in the world around us. We may not be people who keep a strict Sabbath, but we are people who can listen to what God has to say to us and how we live our lives devoted to Him, the one we feel who gives us life and life to the fullest. And what better way to do that than to live our lives fully committed to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came to give us life and life to the fullest. So may we be so bold to let God speak to us and through us and lead us into a world which needs Him more and more every day. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into this world so that we can see how God wants to make himself known. Not by some great marketing campaign, but by touching the lives of his children one life at a time. Lord, may we be so open to hearing your word to us that we may be stopped in our tracks to reevaluate the decisions we make and how we live our lives. And may we be moved to make changes so we can live our lives for you. If you would have us stand out as a people, Lord, we would be humbled and delighted to do it for you. Lord Jesus, may we see you more and more in our lives as we are drawn closer to the Father you have revealed to us. This we pray in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.